Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. A new year of Adam's Monthly Nut hath begun. We kick off 2021 with a bang, with products like a bottle of Promescent Delay Spray to keep you going all year long, a collapsible water bowl to cure feminine canine hydration syndrome anywhere it strikes, a Secret Santa gift, because let's be honest, we got Corolla gifts galore at the warehouse, and a digital download of the first three glorious years of the ACE Awards. The year of the devil is behind us. Get ready for an all-new year of Adam's Monthly Nut.
Well, Mark fired up. We get into all the GameStop stuff and a lot of lawsuits and friends over at Tin Horn Flats. And yeah, a lot of yelling and complaining in this particular episode. First, I'll tell you about True Underdog, new podcast by four-time Entrepreneur of the Year, Jason Waller. It's real. It's raw. Motivational, inspiring stories and killer entrepreneurship advice. Jason is the definition of a true underdog. Raised in a trailer park, suffered childhood abuse, kicked out of high school, and became a dad in his teens. He found the power within. Uses street smarts to start three companies. Did it from the ground up. His latest venture, Power Solar, is on the path. I should say Power Home Solar, on the path to becoming a billion-dollar enterprise. Head to True Underdog Podcast to hear how Jason and his high-profile guests turn their lives around. Be inspired. Subscribe to True Underdog Podcast on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or your favorite podcast app.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Corolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. A choice between a minute. Get on. Welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It is Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Corolla. That's Mark Garagus in New York City in his office. So much to get to today. Good to see you, Mark.
Good to see you too. We could talk a lot about a lot of things. What floats your boat today? I mean, I think the thing everybody's been talking about, tweeting at us and asking about, is the Robinhood platform and the GameStop. You have opinions on this? I'll bet you do have an opinion on this.
So everyone should know about me, which is, I think everyone thinks I have an opinion on everything, but certain things are sophisticated. And if I have no knowledge of that world, I really have no real knowledge of the financial world and Wall Street and selling and buying high and selling low or vice versa. All of this world, it's so foreign to me. And I've heard sort of both arguments. I've heard this is David versus Goliath, and the Wall Street guys are bad. I've heard other versions where the Wall Street guys weren't bad. I've heard versions where the government was bad for not regulating Wall Street. But just so you guys know, intellectually, I don't form hard, fast opinions on things that are kind of over my head. Like, they're sort of out of my pay grade. I don't know enough about the financial world. You can ask me about any case or any, ask me a building question, ask me an automotive question, and or social issue. I will weigh in all day on social issues, but I am not sophisticated enough to weigh in on this or to have a strong opinion one direction or the other. And I've heard the case broken down five different ways to Sunday. So I'm curious in your take, because I defer to you, Mark.
So the interesting thing for those who aren't in the weeds on this, basically what happened, what's the name of this guy, Gary, whose handle I sent you over, something fucking value or something.
Yeah, his Reddit handle is deep fucking value.
Right. I will say, in my defense, I took 20 minutes to answer the question of not knowing anything about a subject. So I'm still a world-class talker.
It was a mini filibuster.
Yeah.
So apparently this guy has been talking and buying this stock for quite a period of time, for well over a year.
At least 18 months. His name is his real name is Keith Gill.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point had how much in his account?
50 million or so.
Yeah. It's like the Tom Girardi of stocks. He had that much in there. And basically what happened was the GameStop, which you used to see all over the place, reminds me of kind of Radio Shack.
Right.
Of this generation. They announced, I think, closing of about 1,000 locations, retail locations, over the last period of time. Part of going through the same kind of shuttering of brick and mortar that a lot of the retailers do. And then in comes a large, well-capitalized Wall Street firm to start shorting the stock. And by shorting the stock, they're betting that it goes down. And they had somewhere in the neighborhood of a $1 billion bet that took up or went up to about a $3 billion. Because when you short stock, you can very quickly either make money or lose money if the stock's moving in the opposite direction. And that's exactly what happened. The stock started taking off. These guys were caught in the what's called a short squeeze, and they have to start covering their squeeze. They actually, I understand, Gary, what is it? I want to say Melvin Capital or something like that, actually had to get a cash infusion from Steve Cohen, now owns the Mets and who Billions was apparently based upon, in order to get out. And they took somewhere in the neighborhood of a $3 billion loss. Then Robinhood, where part of what has happened during the pandemic, if you believe what you read, is that there has been a great upsurge in retail investing, retail meaning people at home day trading. The day traders kind of went all in from these various forums, and Wall Street bets started kind of adding some fuel onto the fire. And next thing you know, the stock took off. And then all of a sudden there was a trading halt by Robinhood, and all these people, or quite a few people, lost quite a bit of money. Others obviously made money, but it was kind of a interesting. The reason politically that it was interesting, obviously, is you may have seen it. Both AOC and Ted Cruz were in agreement as to the what was something going on wrong here. I tend to think if the both of them are in agreement, then maybe we ought to take the contrarian view that maybe they're both wrong. But the what people are talking about now is should there have been SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, come in and do something? Should this guy who we just named be looked at for kind of a what's called a pump and dump? That's traditionally when you see stock manipulation. I don't know. It looks to me like a lot of what's happening here is the Wall Street being exposed for really what it is. My exposure to Wall Street has always been my brother Matt was a specialist on the floor of the Pacific Coast Stock Exchange back in the 80s. And I remember him as a market maker, basically one of the guys on the floor in the old school where you would make the market as a specialist. I always thought from that vantage point that it was pretty much akin to gambling when you're doing day trading anyway. And so now if you're going to try and regulate it after the fact, or you're going to try to sue to hoist somebody on this thing after the fact, that all you're really doing is trying to police what is essentially human behavior. I love this idea Robin Hood, which, for those who don't know, is steal from the rich, give to the poor, traditionally. Well, that platform seems to be doing quite the opposite right now. Have you, you've heard that tape on this?
Yeah, I did. I did hear that part of it. You know, it's kind of interesting from a psychological standpoint, which is so many people are so intimidated by money, finances, you know, and also you don't talk about money in polite company. So it's interesting because I heard Tucker Carlson mention this last night. I thought it was interesting. You know, when you hear about a lawyer or you hear about a comedian or you hear about a school teacher or whatever it is, if you heard of someone who has a lot of money, probably wouldn't be a school teacher, you go, what did they do to get that? And how much money? Or you might be outraged, you know what I mean? Where you go, Ellen makes $44 million a year? Ellen? What does Ellen need 44? And then you hear about some hedge fund guys worth $2 billion, and you go, good for you. You don't even ask, what the fuck are you doing? Like, who are you ripping off? Like, how's this work? Like, you know, we have this thing where if you're the boss in some factory and your factory guy's down on the floor making 17 bucks an hour and you made $45 million last year, everyone's pissed at you. We want to know what you're doing. Why aren't you spreading it around? You know, so on and so forth. That's the society we've created. The second you hear about the hedge fund guy or the Wall Street guy with two, by the way, who has more money than all these guys, all the guys who run a business, you just kind of go, well, great. Must be cool to be your kid. Like, you, there's no judgment because I realize we don't know enough. We're intimidated by it and we're not sophisticated or educated by it. So I think the last thing these guys want is the sunlight shining on them because they kind of remind me of the patent trolls. When the patent trolls were suing me, the biggest mistake they made was coming out of the shadows and suing someone with a microphone. That was their, they were fine as long as they were suing all these other tech companies and all these other entities and businesses. As soon as they sued me, I started talking about it. They got pulled out of the shadows. And the main reason they dropped the case was because I wouldn't stop talking about it. It's such, Mark, it's such an insane tactical error, isn't it? Like, here you are, you're happily suing everyone, you're ripping everyone off, you have the judges and you have the Congress, everyone's in your hip pocket, and you're just printing money, ripping people off, and then you decide to sue someone with a loudmouth and a microphone.
And, I think part of my immediate reaction is that this really exposes, I think, the kind of casino nature of what Wall Street is. I mean, in terms of trading, obviously, great fortunes have been made in other kinds of ways, what people call value investing, blah, blah, blah. But there is, to some degree, I think, a gambling component, and the house is basically the big boys on Wall Street. And this shows that if there is at least a free flow of information or retail, what is so-called retail investors, which are people who are on these platforms and they're exchanging information, there's something to be said for the fact that it really becomes it exposes, as you say. It was interesting because back in March, I think it was Bill Ackman who had a short position and made somewhere in the neighborhood of a couple of $1 billion betting that the market would go down. And then when it got low enough, he started buying. And that was kind of his, both a hedge, and he made it going and coming. And there is something to be said that if you realize that, and I've noticed this, and, you know, Elon Musk periodically becomes the richest man in the world, leapfrogging over Bezos because of the stock prices. And he can, I think he tweeted at one point this week, didn't he, Gary? On Tuesday, maybe?
Yeah,
right?
He tweeted game stonk, and the reason behind that is most likely that back when Tesla was a struggling car company, Melvin Capital, who ended up taking the biggest hit here, was an aggressive Tesla short, and they were trying really hard to crush Tesla.
Ooh.
So he saw an option here, tweeted, and within about an hour, he put about 160% raise on the stock because he has 43 million Twitter followers.
And that took down almost immediately Melvin Capital. So there's a little bit of, I love kind of the cross currents of people getting a little bit of retribution here. So, you know, you play with the big boys, you sometimes get hurt. I don't know. I think that there's something fundamentally wrong or unfair about if you bought in and they stopped trading or they stopped, they basically blocked access to your account. I don't think that's fair.
They didn't stop trading. To be clear, they stopped the ability to buy stock, but you could still sell it. So basically, they just took the purchase button off. But if you wanted to exit your position and help out the hedge funds, basically, you could still do that. And that's what's going to get them into real trouble with the SEC, most likely.
Yeah, that's it. That's really that. Now you want to talk market manipulation. That to me is market manipulation.
All right. Next subject. I got, I'm going out tonight to Mastro's and, eating outside. So, small
day one of the, lifting of all of the restrictions.
I
will tell you, it's amazing because as you know, we talked about it last week. We had filed the amended complaint that took Pineapple Hill in Angela's case, and we expanded it and included the Beauty Federation and salons and had the Coachella hospitality group, and we really expanded it out. We filed that amended complaint on Thursday. We're going in on Monday to get a restraining order, and lo and behold, the governor blinked. Isn't that something? And but so at the same time, so did the county. The county trotted out Barbara Farrar, who said a bunch of nonsense. I will tell you that there is, based on what I've seen, there's absolutely no reason to say that there was a difference this week from the week before or a month before or 2 months before, except that I think that you could make a compelling case, and we have made a compelling case, I believe, that the fact that they shut down outdoor dining really caused the surge in LA County and then throughout California, don't you?
You know, there's two possibilities. You shut down outdoor dining, and then we have a surge of COVID cases. So there are only two possibilities. Either shutting down outdoor dining forced more people to go indoors. I went to Beverly Hills 3 days ago, was invited to a dinner party. There was a chef there, and six or eight people sat inside a house and ate with no plexiglass between us and no social distancing. So the actual outdoor dining. So it's one of two. It's only one of two outcomes. Either outdoor dining being closed down caused a spike, or outdoor dining being closed down didn't cause a spike. It was a coincidence that there was a spike during the outdoor dining ban. Either way, you have to fucking reopen, because it's either it caused it or it didn't cause it. But what it didn't do is prevent anything.
Right. I mean, and you can't make any argument. And if you listen, you know, I was thinking about it yesterday because it's so frustrating, the amount of the number of people. I mean, just if you were to sit and look at the incoming emails that we get at the office and calls we get at the office from people who have lost everything and the emails, they're heartbreaking. I mean, and it's almost always the same story. I worked my entire life, all of my savings, everything I've got is put into this. Now I've got nothing. I'm behind in my rent. The landlord is hassling me, and And I understand that as a landlord as well, because, you know, nobody does the landlord any favors as they have to continue to pay the mortgage, pay the property taxes. The one thing they haven't stopped, you notice what they haven't paused, is property taxes. We're still writing the property tax checks in April and December. Nobody said, oh, time out. We don't need your property tax money during any of this. You don't have to pay rent, maybe, but you still got to pay all of those things. And it's enormously frustrating to me that what happened here is that we listen to people who are supposed public health professionals. And you and I said this earlier, wouldn't you like to just sit and cross-examine these people, ask them some questions, and get some solid answers? Because it reminds me of a lot of the experts that I've seen in court cases, where just a simple cross-examination shows you that these so-called experts really, it's nothing more than junk science. I mean, there's a reason why there's been a movement, at least in the federal courts, to make the federal judges the gatekeepers on evidence and experts, because we have really kind of outsourced our common sense to people who really have no common sense that we have deified as experts. It's clear, at least to me, that the county so-called public health experts have no idea what they're doing, none whatsoever. And the state experts are not much better.
Well, how long? Look, if you put Barbara Ferrer up there, or anybody from the city council or the governor, Newsom or whoever it is, and you are allowed to actually cross-examine them about either the subject of outdoor dining being banned or how about school closures?
Right, because that's not stuff. There's no reason in the world why schools should close.
Well, so here's my question. What is the press doing? What are they doing their job? We're going on 1 year of kids staying at home for no medical reasons, no scientific reason whatsoever. The schools are open all over the world. They're open all over the country. My kids have been home for coming up on a year with no discussion and no plan about getting them back in the classroom. Now, my kids are rich and they're fine and they're spoiled and they'll do fine. A lot of kids are languishing. A lot of kids are having mental issues. They're losing essentially a year of their life, and certainly a year of their life in education. It's outrageous. There's nothing that supports the science. The kids evidently don't spread it, and if they do, it doesn't do anything to them. It doesn't hurt 15-year-old kids. School teachers are generally young, and they can distance themselves from the class. It's insanity. I think Chicago, and it's all the unions. Everyone asks me, why do I hate unions? This is why I hate unions. The unions are essentially extorting the populace and the kids. It really is.
The people say, what are you going to do now with the federal lawsuit? The federal lawsuit we're putting together is basically we're trying to just say to the court, Now, the more fundamental question, how long do you get to have this so-called emergency declaration? As you say, it's been a year. We've got schools. We've got, you still can't do indoor dining. You can do some retail, but you can't do other kinds of retail. All of these so-called emergency measures, which, ironically, it looks like we'll just go on ad infinitum. We've never in the history of America had a situation where we've allowed emergency measures for this period of time and allowed the quarantining of the healthy, let alone for any period of time. And so I think somebody's going to have to address that. And that's the issue we're going to raise, because more fundamentally, how long are you going to just say that we've decided that we're no longer really a democracy? Because this is not a democracy. We have lost the right to speedy trial. That generally is the writ of habeas corpus. Trials just get postponed. And apparently that we delegated that. We've now delegated the legislature, who I really, to some degree, blame most amongst the three branches of the government in California, for instance. The legislature has outsourced everything to the government, and they've just thrown their hands up. Well, then maybe they shouldn't be getting paid, because the whole idea of a legislature is to legislate, not to just give that ability over to the governor. And so how does the governor get in California unfettered discretion for over a year to do these edicts? You explain that to me. I don't understand. Why isn't the populace, you know, they talk about storming Congress and this or that. Yes, that was an insurrection, but this is the same. You know, you can complain about Trump and what he was doing, but at the same time, hold this other thought in the head. What about, you know, what about what Newsom is doing is different than what Trump tried to do? What is the difference if you're truly a so-called patriot?
Yeah, well, insurrection or oppression. We're essentially on the oppression side. And that's what we're experiencing. I don't think gyms are open in California either.
Outdoor, limited 25% capacity outdoor, I think.
So we can go down to Venice Beach and do some dips?
Yeah, in the rain.
Again, they have no idea the long-lasting health and mental health and physical health effects that they're causing from people staying home, not being able to go to the gym, schools not being open, kids staying home, a lot of day drinking going on, substance abuse, addiction, a lot of people falling off the wagon because they're not able to attend their AA meetings or go to church. Some people find a lot of solace in that. And there's going to be a lot of depression, a lot of mental illness. And also the one thing, you know, that could really the one thing you could have working for you in your corner when it comes to COVID is your weight and your metabolism and your health. And driving everyone at home and closing the gyms is not good for that. And also it's being spread at home.
Right. And by the way, wouldn't it have been a better lesson to begin with to focus on people's health and their metabolic syndrome or their what they were eating or what kinds of things?
Well, I was looking down the line of the groups, the ethnic groups that were most affected by this negatively, you know, cases per 100,000. And then I cross-checked against groups, ethnicities that had the highest levels of obesity, and it just went straight down the line. They just matched up. I won't out any ethnicities, but I will say the Asians did the best. They have the least cases of obesity. They're much more than the blue-eyed devil, and they had the least cases and deaths from COVID. So to me, you could draw a straight line between the populace and how they were in obesity rates and COVID deaths. I think that's a medical fact. So this would have been a good opportunity to coach everybody up in that department. This could have been a teachable moment, as they say. And forget about COVID. Think about the long-term costs of somebody who's grotesquely overweight or just overweight, all the things that happen. Forget it. If they're 31 now, fine. But what about when they're 75 and the joints and the hips and the we need replacements? And the think about how much somebody who's obese, think about what they cost the system in terms of their medical care. And this could have been a time to head a lot of this off at the pass. Like we could have got hold of a lot of young people and coached them up about diet and exercise and supplements and how that affects you. And we could have just used COVID because we're not going to get a teachable moment like this in the foreseeable future. You can't just say to groups of people, hey, lose weight, fatty. But if you do it with this moment in time of we're worried about you, we don't want you to be killed by this disease, here's what I need you to do. We could have created some habits. We could have instilled some knowledge and some habits. Instead, what we got is idiots masking off the horse trail and explaining if you go to the beach, you have to lie down 6 feet away from the next sunbather. It's just in what more?
Can't lie down.
Oh, you can't lie down on the beach. Yes. Insanity. By the way, insanity. And as I yelled at the doctor from the show, The Doctors, who was doing a respectful interview with me about sort of me being an asshole on Twitter with this COVID stuff, he's like, he rushed to their defense. He said, well, they didn't know. They didn't know. I said, they didn't know you couldn't lay down on the beach. They didn't know that? The infectious disease experts didn't know that? Well, if they didn't know that, then fucking fire them. I don't know what the fuck kind of expert you think you are. If you're an infectious disease expert and you're thinking somewhere in April, I don't think it's safe for people to lie on the beach. Well, then you don't fucking know what you're doing. Because you don't have to be an expert to figure that one out. The safest place you could have been was the beach, and they were closing the beaches. Why the fuck did we close the beaches?
I remember that. What'd they do, Gary, was it Malibu where they were bulldozing some sand structure or something? One of Garcetti's greatest hits.
You might be referring to the skate parks that he filled with sand. That was a good one. In Malibu, there was famous pictures of them arresting a sole paddleboarder that was probably 40 yards offshore in the ocean, just paddleboarding around. There's a litany of great ones.
They're literally waiting for a solo guy on a paddleboard who was at sea. They were waiting for him to come ashore so they could arrest him. Alone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the other thing they were doing is they were, of course, taking down all the nets on the beach volleyball and then making sand dunes in the beach volleyball. This allocation of resources, really? You're going to hire a bunch of union guys to drive bulldozers and make mounds of dirt in the sand? You should pray that everyone goes outside, gets some vitamin D, exposes themselves to the sun and the salt air. The safest place you could have been was the beach. They fucking knuckled down hard on shutting down. They were patrolling up and down. They didn't have enough CHP guys and enough sheriffs to patrol. So they deputized. I think they went and got like the Pinkertons or something. And they had these deputized guys going up and down PCH. So their big focus was the fucking beach.
I'll give you another example. I mean, this is a case I'm actually litigating this week. You know, Tinhorn Flats.
Yes.
They complied and did to-go service, and the county is trying to take away, and the city of Burbank trying to take away their license now, based upon the fact that their health permit was revoked because they were doing to-go orders and people might sit on the patio out there. Or in one of the citations, a county health inspector who came by every single day said that a customer who picked up a to-go order was not masked. And therefore, that's somehow their fault. And we're going to cite them and we're going to shut them down because they're not policing somebody who picked up a to-go order who wasn't wearing a mask. This is the end. I said, well, wait, you're enforcing the county order, which actually I know for a fact because I got it enjoined, was not valid at the time. The county health officer's solution to that, that's above her pay grade. She can't get into whether or not the order was valid at the time. She's gonna issue a suspension order. I mean, if you can believe the insanity, this is happening right now as we speak. That's your tax dollars at work. As that some poor establishment who's trying to make a living is having to fight the county and fight the inanity. And mind you, there were two, not one, but two lawyers during this hearing. In addition, as my opposing counsel that apparently can't give the county advice on whether they're enforcing a valid order at the time. I mean, it's the, you see that. You see the, I've had other cases where they try to criminally prosecute people. And it's just astonishing to me that that is the reaction, that they have lost so much connection with reality that they think that that's how you get people in line. That, to me, is oppression in its worst. It's doubling down on this insanity.
I took Sonny to Tinhorn Flats, and we went and ate there when they were open for patio dining and in defiance of whatever the ordinance was. Yeah, there's a story of a gym, and I think it's New Jersey, where the guy just said, we're opening up the gym, and now the county, the city, whatever state is leveling fines. And they actually went into the guy's bank account. If you can find that story, Gary, the city...
Yeah, they seized his legal defense fund that people had raised.
They seized his legal defense fund. Hey, people, do you guys understand what the fuck is going on around here? You should be pushing back against this. I do not blame these fucking tyrants. But what happened is it's the worst posture a government can ever take. Whether it's the guy on the paddleboard or the guy who owns Tinhorn Flats, Armo, by the way, went to high school with him. The notion that these subjects have dared to defy the government. They're being punished because they dared to defy these, by the way, rules that have no logic, rules that may have no scientific back. So here's the deal. Like, forget about COVID. The government is now allowed to say, here's our decree. Our decree is, before you get in your car and go to work, You have to walk in a circle and say, ollie, ollie, oxen free, and then you can get in your car and you can drive to work. And if you defy them, we will make an example of you. And you may say, well, why do I need to walk into a circle and say, ollie, ollie, oxen free? I don't get it. Well, how's that? Why is that a safety? No, you don't need to know. We've made the decree. You go alone on a paddleboard in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Of course it's not dangerous. It's the opposite of dangerous. You should hope your citizens go out, get sun, and get exercise that way in the open ocean. No, you defied us. Tinhorn Flats, you've defied us. Hey, Attilus Gym, you defied us. And now we're going to punish you because we have to put your head on a pike and put it out front of the state house so others know what happens when you defy. We will make an example of you.
It's a perfect example is you take a look this week. Dr. Golly, the state head of health and services, was asked repeatedly during a Zoom video conference to give the metrics and has repeatedly said, basically, we're not going to give you the metrics we're using. It's too comprehensive for you to understand. Basically, it's almost like it's proprietary. What are you talking about? This is state data. This is government paid for data. You're a government official. You don't get some kind of, theoretically at least, until this craziness that we've been enmeshed in, theoretically, this was taxpayer funded information, and you're telling me that you're not going to release it, and you're not going to tell us what the metrics are or why, and what we're too stupid to understand it? Is that the issue, or is the fact that you're just full of shit? I mean, there is at a certain point where is I'm with you. Where is the idea of a press that holds government accountable as opposed to a press that is nothing but either a cheerleader or a spokesperson?
The press has been feverishly working on Ron DeSantis in Florida. That's who they're all focused on. They're focused on the guy who's murdering his citizens because he reopened society or he never closed down society. Oh, the press is working feverishly on any governor, Republican governor, that dared to open or never close their society. They got a lot of... They're burning a lot of pencil lead on that guy. or the governor of Georgia or the governor of Texas. They don't give a fuck about Newsom because he's one of them. That's the bottom line. It's it. They don't.
Well, I'll tell you, the only thing that will save Newsom is by him characterizing this as a, I think they started off as a coup, and that it's a Republican fueled effort. It shouldn't be a Republican fueled effort. Citizens should be fed up with what is happening in the state. I don't care which end of the political spectrum you are on. This should not be a party issue. This should be a common sense issue. You should not have, basically, you have to hold somebody accountable. Did he screw up? Is there anybody who's going to come to his defense and say that he didn't screw this thing up massively, that he didn't not only take people's lives and livelihoods, but then double and triple and quadruple down on it?
Well,
how do you justify any of the actions?
Let's not forget the $31 billion squandered by the EDD on all the fraudulent unemployment claims. I mean,
So let's form a new task force to figure out why it is that we documented $11 billion and another $20 is under suspicion. The task force is going to solve that. I mean, it's unbelievable. The series. I mean, if you screwed up that much in your life, if professionally, I mean, if you just had failure after failure after failure, where is the? I mean, where do you say at some point, wow, he deserves to have this job? What has he done that he deserves? Because there's an unexpected windfall of tax revenue, which he had nothing to do with. That's why he should keep his job.
I'm curious about the schools. Why is he keeping the schools closed? Is it just the teachers' unions pressuring him? And at what point do you get to sue teachers' unions? And also, by the way, the same asswipes that are loving the teachers' unions are against school choice and vouchers and private schools and all that as well. The private schools have stayed open. They've done fine. There's no issues with the private schools. So the rich kids who can afford the private school, they go uninterrupted with their lessons. The poor kids who are already going to subpar schools, and this could be Chicago or Los Angeles or wherever, they're now the gap between the haves and the have-nots has grown even greater. The kids who can afford private school, whose parents are involved, whose parents are successful, they were not scathed by this. It's the kids who go to the public schools that are going to miss a year and basically create a larger gap between those with privilege and those who don't have privilege, enacted by the asswipes who won't shut up about equity and inequity and privilege and white privilege and wealth gaps. These guys never fucking shut their pie hole about that. They're actually creating a larger chasm in the scourge that they call the wealth gap.
Well, I will tell you that the school issue to me is the next battle that has to be waged. I mean, obviously the livelihoods of all of these businesses that have been either killed or crushed by these actions. It was one battle, but I mean, it's like a never ending battle against idiocy and stupidity here. I mean, that's why I think more fundamentally, somebody has got to take up this case of whether the governor in this case has the authority to just make emergency declarations ad infinitum, meaning that there's no limit to it, that you can just declare an emergency and that's it. I don't understand how quickly in America we've gone to the point where we're okay with this. It's fundamentally, it has changed my perception, at least, of I thought people would rebel against this, but they have not really. You keep characterizing the sheeple. And I have kind of the same reaction. I don't understand why people just go along with this.
They're not only are they not pushing back against the man, and in this case, that would be Newsom if you live in California. Not only are they not pushing back, if they didn't push back, not pushing back against the powers that are oppressing everyone and ruining livelihoods and businesses and causing people depression, obesity, and drug overdoses, not pushing back against that authority is bad. But I'll tell you, here's where it starts to veer into despicable. When they attack guys like me and Dr. Drew and sometimes you and others who dare to speak out against the orthodoxy. By the way, Gavin Newsom's an imbecile. If anyone ever wants to spend 45 minutes and listen to me dismantle the imbecile who is sitting 5 feet from where I'm sitting right now, you may listen. He's intellectually weak. I know he's intellectually weak because I dismantled him. And I'm not that good a debater, and I'm not that educated. I fucking destroyed that guy. He's weak. I could not do that to you. I couldn't do it to Dr. Drew. I couldn't do it to Dennis Prager or Ben Shapiro. But Gavin Newsom was easy to destroy because he doesn't have the intellectual firepower to offer up. The man is an insane person. I don't think people really know that. When he was being interviewed and asked, aren't you worried about people going to Texas? He was like, no, Texas is a good place. Well, what about people leaving the state? Well, where else are you going to go? Is his answer. And then he cites a couple that he knows, dear friends. They moved to Salt Lake City. They're very happy. Could you imagine hiring him as a lawyer? He's intellectual. He has a deficit. He has an intellectual deficit. He cannot process information correctly. And thus, we now then suffer the byproduct of his intellectual deficit. And I'll tell you where it gets into, where it really starts crossing the line is if you point that out. By the way, why should we listen to Gavin Newsom? He's semi-retarded. I wouldn't listen to him on a fucking recipe for gazpacho, much less how to run a goddamn business or a state. But if you speak out against it, then the sheeple and the cowards who are busy double masking before they go for their walk on the horse trail turn on me. You people are despicable. You should be stepping up right now, not cowering.
Well, I don't understand why there is this basic kind of orthodoxy that you buy into, that's okay, that you can just give up your rights. I don't understand.
Because I'll tell you why. Because they do not possess you, Mark Garagus. You have something that's very rare these days. It's called intellectual honesty. See, California is a supermajority Democrat state. He's a Democrat, so he's one of them. And he's also the Los Angeles Times endorses Democrats. So he's one of them. And they don't have the intellectual honesty that you have, which is you are a Democrat. But you can also see when one of your own is doing something that is injurious to the populace. So you have that honesty. The Los Angeles Times doesn't have that honesty, and many of the citizens here who voted for the Democrat don't have that honesty. It's one of their guys making horrible policy, and then they circle the wagons to protect that guy. The Los Angeles Times should be destroying Newsom and Garcetti at every turn.
Yeah, and instead, all I see is opinion articles about how the recall was funded by this guy or that guy, and it's always the hard right and no talk. And then, you know, they finally, most of these articles talk about the French Laundry, but that's just because that fired people up. The fact of the matter is, that there is something fundamentally wrong, as you described it, with the decision making and what's happening. This, I mean, how in the world do you sit here and say that I endorse what is happening in this state? How do you say that what is happening in California is a good thing? I'm all for it. I'm for Elon Musk moving. I'm for people, high earners, fleeing out of here. I'm for unending emergency declarations and basically upending the Constitution. I mean, understand something. I'm not exaggerating. The only time that I believe the writ of habeas corpus has been suspended was either Japanese internment camps or during the Civil War. Well, we're there again. The writ of habeas corpus is de facto suspended right now. And have you heard anybody talk about it? You have that on anywhere in the LA Times? I haven't seen it. In fact, the ABA, American Bar Association, wants to interview me, and I said, fine, about whether or not I'm getting blowback because I'm challenging these COVID restrictions. That's the story. Am I getting blowback for challenging?
All right, let me take a moment, hit Geico here. Do you own, do you rent? Well, you probably do one or the other, and you got your automotive insurance. How about you bundle? It makes it easy. Yeah. Geico makes it easy to bundle. You take your homeowner's or your renter's insurance. You go to geico.com. You get a quote. You see just how much you could save and how easy it is at Geico. That's geico.com. Visit them today and get your bundle on. All right. February 26th, 27th, Oklahoma City Bricktown Comedy Club. I'll be doing stand-up and live pods there. You can go to amcroll.com. Some of the shows have been postponed in Kansas City and Royal Oak, Michigan. And go to Chassis, Chassy, and see all our movies. And you can check out stand-up for free at our YouTube page, youtube.com/Adam Kroll. What do you got, Mark?
Well, Tenney and Engine will be open this weekend. Stop by downtown L.A. Outdoor dining. Prova is still open in New York, Grand Central Terminal, and Moxie at Times Square. Stop by either place.
So, until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Mark Garriga saying mahala.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.
Hey, do you own? Do you rent? I bet you do one or the other. Maybe do both. Who the hell knows? How about Geico, man? How about you bundle? How about you get those auto policies going with the renter's insurance or the homeowner's insurance? You bundle them up. You save a bunch of money. And, of course, you go to Geico. You go to geico.com. You get a quote. You see just how much you could save when you bundle. Get going today at geico.com.